included in the chat session. Participants are able to send in questions about the lecture, which will be answered in the broadcast. Participation is free and completely anonymous. For more information about Gnosis, these lectures, or how to install the AOL software, you can visit the website of Telema Press at www.gnosis-usa.com. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of all suffering, we present today's lecture. May all beings be happy.
Good morning. This is the Gnostic Radio. This morning, we will start talking in relation with the Book of Revelation. And we will try to place the basic rules that we have to follow, Gnostically speaking, in order to comprehend the different Kabbalistic books that we find specifically in the Bible. To begin, as you know, the Book of Revelation is a book that is very difficult to understand when we do not know a bit of Kabbalah and alchemy. Indeed, the Book of Revelation is an alchemical and alchemistic book that needs a lot of meditation, and more than that, practical life in the initiation in order to follow, because really as a guidance for the path for the self-realization of the being. And we have to explain even about the name of the master that wrote the book. As you know, in English, his name is John. And if we go to the Middle East, they will call him Yohanan. In either language, even in Spanish, which was the language where the Master Samael wrote his books, the name of John or Johanan is Juan. And the fact that this book is written by Juan, Johanan, or John, it is because it directly related this name with the word. Basically, as the Master Samael explains in many of his books, it is related with the seven vowels. In esotericism, we say that we have seven vowels, being the M and the S, the sixth and the seventh. That's why the name of John or Johanan, Juan, is disarranged in the seven letters or seven vowels. E, A, O, U, A, M, S. So when we say John, we said Yehovah. So in that word, whether in any language, written in any language, we find hidden the seven vowels. Of course, the first is the I, the second is the E, the O, the third, the U, the fourth, and the A, the fifth, M, the sixth, and the seventh is the S, E-L-1s, that are the sound that we say. Why do we say that the name John or Johanan or Juan is related with the word? Because everything is a crystallization of the word. That's why in the other Gnostic book, the book of Genesis, it is written that God said, let there be light, and the light was, in the very beginning. And it is because God creates with the power of the word. So the whole universe is a crystallization of the word. That's why in other schools or philosophies, specifically in the Masonry, they say that in the beginning God geometricized. And we talk in other lectures how when we record the word, our language, in any tape recorder, if after that we look the tape in the microscope, we discover that the word that we pronounce is recorded in the tape with geometrical figures. So then we discover there that really the word is geometrical. And when we study matter, we will see that indeed matter is formed by different geometrical forms. In the microscope, or we will say in the atomic world or molecular world, everything is geometrical. So behold here that why also the Gospel of John in the New Testament, which is directly related with Netzach, related with the eagle, with the spirit, and also with the mind, says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the beginning with God. So in this way, this gospel is asserting that God is the Word, is sound, is vibration. It is not a person, but a type of energy that crystallizes into different geometrical forms. So the multiplicity of forms that exist in the universe are just a crystallization of the word. But the goal, the end of the objective of the word is really to create or to crystallize the human being, which will be the vehicle in order to express divinity. Because we know that God itself has no form. That's why the great Kabbalist Moses, in one of the commandments that gave at that time, said, you shall not make any image of God. Because really, when we want to experience that entity that we call God, we cannot give any image to it, because it is the origin of all images, of all forms. But God itself has no image, but it can take any image. And this is something that we as Gnostics have to understand, because sometimes in our experiences, we see God in different shapes. But it's because our own entity, our own being, wants to show us, in front of us, his attributes, divine attributes related with our consciousness. But after he appears with that shape, he dissolved that shape because he doesn't need it. So the objective of that entity, the Glorian, we will say in this case, because it's that light, is to create a vehicle in order to express itself into the matter. You see, God needs to express itself in the matter. So he needs a perfect vehicle in order to do it. And this is why God creates the human being. That's the only objective, the only reason. In order for that monad to have form and to express itself in the world of matter. So God needs the matter in order to exist. But as it is written in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, the earth is without form, has no divine form, and is void of those attributes. But this is precisely the objective of the self-realization, to acquire that shape which the Bible calls the human being into the image of God. With this, we are asserting that that image of God that the book of Genesis talk about doesn't exist. Comes into my mind now a certain phrase of Victor Hugo, the great initiate. He says, talking about Christians and Jews and Muslims that follow the book of Genesis in a letter way, in the dead way of the letter. They say that they are made into the image of God, all of them, because they read literally. Then, he says, if that is true, God might be very ugly. And really, that's precisely the point. If we, as we are right now, are made into the image of God, that God there might be very ugly. Psychologically speaking, physically speaking, mentally speaking, spiritually speaking, all the way. So this is something that we have to understand, because there are many people there, whether Jews, Christians, or Muslims that follow the book of Genesis, that think that all of this humanity is made into the image of God. Wrong. Very wrong. This humanity is without form, without shape, and void, and darkness. It is on the surface of the deep. Subconsciousness, unconsciousness, infraconsciousness. That is what we have to state and to establish. Because if we start the doctrine of this Gnosticism with the point of view that we are already human beings, we are wrong. In many books and lectures, we always said human being, the man, etc., for respect. Because we'll be very ugly if in all the lecture we will say, well, we, the intellectual animals, we, the beasts, people wouldn't like that. But is that the truth? But we said human beings for respect, just in order to be polite. But really, the true word for us is beasts or intellectual animals, but not human beings. A true human being is a Yehoam, a Johanan, a John. We have to create that human being, that John, which is the crystallization of the Word, because is God the one that creates the human being, and He does it through the initiation. That's why in every day of the book of Genesis it is written that God said, and God said, and God said, because it's God the one that is creating it. That intelligence that is crystallizing and is utilizing the chaotic matter which we have in the sexual organs in order to do it. There's a process that we have to learn, and that, of course, is a mystery of that knowledge, gnosis, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, of that science, which is called alchemy, the way in which we use the different forces, principles, energies. We have no form in order to make them form, or to in order to create them. But it's Allah, El, God, the one that does it. But we have to understand that it's a word. That's why we learn the inner relation of the throat, the larynxian chakra, with the sexual glands. And that's why the importance of the word when we transmute the sexual energy. That's why you find that there is the different mantras, you are single, in order to transmute the sexual force that you have to pronounce, because the word exercises certain special influence in the sexual energy in order to transform it. So those words, mantras, sacred things that we pronounce are specific vibrations that we need in order to transform that energy. And that's why we need concentration in order to send that vibration into our sexual organs. This is how the word creates. And that's why the importance of the seven vowels, in order for that to give shape to that particular matter. That's why in sexual magic, we pronounce different mantras, specifically the mantra E-A-O, and other mantras that the master Samael explains that should be combined with different vowels. And this is how we find how the word John, Johanan, is related with creation. And of course, we find also that John, this is written in the Gospels, was the disciple that was closer to the Master Jesus. And John is always depicted as resting his head on the chest of Jesus, because that John is related precisely with the heart, or as we know, with the thymus gland. Because in the heart we have the atom nous, and in the thymus gland, which is behind the atom nous, we have John, the child that has to grow and to become a human being. That part of the essence that needs that assistance And this is how you see that the thymus gland is related with the moon. And the heart with the sun. And this is how we transform the moon into the sun. That's why we find that in the beginning of the book of Revelation, the book says, I, John, when he starts saying, I, John, he's talking about, of course, the real human being. That entity, that essence, that is following the path of a self-realization, which is following the atom nous. Let me read for you the very beginning of the book of Revelation. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants, thing which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signed it by his angel unto his servant John. When you said there, the revelation of Jesus Christ, of course, most of people, when they read that, immediately they associate that with the Master Avramento that came 2,000 years ago and that gave the Venustic initiation to John, his disciple, which of course we don't deny it. It happened like that. But every book that is written Kabbalistically, we have to understand it internally. Because all the books written related with masters or disciples are always a guidance for our own internal development. And as the Master Samael explains in the book of Pistis Sophia, each one of us has to develop his own individual, particular Jesus Christ. So when we read the revelation of Jesus Christ, we have to understand directly that it's talking to our divine, particular nous, atom nous. And in this case, are talking to the Bodhisattva in Buddhist terms. What is a Bodhisattva? Bodhisattva is a union of two things. The Bodhi, which is Chokhmah in Kabbalah, wisdom. Because Chokhmah is wisdom and Bodhi is wisdom in Sanskrit. So that is Christ. And Christ, as you know, is not an individual, but a force, an energy. That's why Chokhmah, the second Sephirah in the Tree of Life, is associated with the Zodiac. The 12 constellations. And Keter, the father, the crown, is related with the infinite. And you know that the father and the son are one. One energy. So that is, of course, body. That is Christ. So when we said Christ, body, Chokhmah, the Messiah, we are talking about that Christ, which in the Persian terms is called Auramazda, which in Buddhism is called Avalokiteshvara, and also Kuan Yin, and also in Tibetan terms, Cherenzin. Cheresi. Chenrezi. There are many ways to pronounce. Chen Rezi. It's an entity. It's not a person. It's a force. Vishnu is how it is called in Hinduism. And it is called in different names, simple for the fact that in the earth we speak many languages. And that's why people pronounce that entity in different languages. In the ancient Egypt, how do they call that force? Osiris Ra. So, if we go on to study ancient religion, we find different names for that entity, which is Christ. But Jesus is another name that, as you know, we always associate it with the name Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Jehovah, with the holy name of God, which is the representation of our own divine entity. And as we explain in other lectures, if we place the letter Shin between Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, we find Yod-Heh-Shin-Vav-Heh. And if we read those five letters, or the pentagramma, because penta means five and gramma means letters, if we read that pentagram, and then we read Yeshua, and that Yeshua means Savior, meaning that the own Savior is made when your own internal, particular, individual monad, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, that is written Jehovah or Yod-Havah inside, when that particular entity enters into activity, creating with Shin, which represents the three primary forces of Christ, Keter, Chokhmah, Binah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when it enters into creation, or the creative force of the human being, to create a human being inside. So this is Jesus. That's why Jesus said, no one goes to the Father but through me, or by me. But you have to understand and to comprehend what Jesus is, what the Savior is. Has many levels. When God starts creating inside of you through the fire, the internal bodies, it is doing it through Jesus. Why? Because God is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh inside of us. And that Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh needs the activity of the three primary forces, which are represented in the letter Shin, in order to act in the sexual act. These three primary forces of the letter Shin, the man, the woman, and the sexual act, in fire, that the letter Shin. This is how God said. So when God said, the word that is pronounced is Yeshua. And of course, this is how Jesus unites the human soul with the spirit through the creation of soul, through the creation of the solar bodies. So that is Jesus in one aspect, but had many aspects. And this is how it's written and explains in Christianity from the Kabbalistic and Hebrew point of view. That's why I said, from the Bible point of view, that is what we call Jesus, because it is a Hebrew word, Yeshua. But you have to understand and comprehend that the Kabbalah is the language of the cosmos, or esoteric language, alchemy. So now you have the word Jesus Christ. So that is Jesus Christ. Or as we said in Buddhism, Bodhisattva. So when we finished the creation, and then we received the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is that God gave unto his servants. Who are the servants of Jesus Christ? Are those that work with the three primary forces. Are those that work with the three factors of the revolution of the consciousness, represented in the letter Shin, which is always fire, because God is fire. So then you have it. That in order to have the revelation of Jesus Christ, you have to develop that inside. And of course, it starts by the awakening of the Kundalini, which is a Sanskrit word. Or we will say, by the awakening of the bronze serpent, or the serpent of bronze, that Moses lived in the wilderness in order to heal the Israelites. Which is, of course, when we say serpent of bronze, you know, it's alchemy. Because it is relation with metals. Bronze is a metal made of tin and copper, man and woman. So there you follow here. All the basical, basic. The basic things that we know and that you really should know in order to understand what we're reading. Because if we read just the dead letter, we just write John. Yeah, somebody, the name was John, that lived 2,000 years ago and that was listening the revelation of Jesus that was appearing in the clouds. Right? But the clouds is a symbol of mystery. This is all symbol. So when we said, or when the book of Revelation says the revelation of Jesus Christ, he's saying, of course, all of that entity of God within each one of us, that is the outcome of alchemy, that is, of course, teaching the consciousness. That is teaching the essence. And that essence, of course, is we. Then in the beginning, we are learning little by little how to develop. And little by little, that essence is growing up and acquiring different levels. Because John has different levels. Comes into my mind in this very moment, John the Baptist. You see, there's another John there. And John the Baptist is a reincarnation of Eliyahu, Elias. This is how they said in English, Elias. But in strict Hebrew, it says Eliyahu. And El is God. Eliyahu is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The letter Shin again there. Of the Holy Trinity, O Triamatsikamno, the law of three. Eliyahu, the God Yao, or the crystallization, we will say, of God. Eh? If you want to say it better, the crystallization of God, Eliyahu. That's why some says that Eliyahu was a prophet of Michael, the spirit of the sun, or the logos of the sun. The messenger. It's true. But how we understand that this Eliyahu that incarnated in John, of course, we cannot deny, and we know, that John the Baptist, the master that baptized Jesus of Nazareth 2,000 years ago, he was really the incarnation of Elias. Or Eliyahu. But we have to understand and to comprehend that we have our own particular individual Eliyahu. Eliyahu. Matthew Samael of Veor explains that exist the lesser Yao and the greater Yao inside of us. And this is something very profound that we have to study and meditate. But let us continue with this John the Baptist, because he baptized with water. And we know that the water is a symbol of the sexual energy. And it is because John, the word, is hidden within the sexual energy. We need to be baptized by John, by the word of God, E-A-O. In the Jordan of life, when we transmute the sexual creative waters of life. And this is how that word, John the Baptist, comes before the crystallization of the Lord. Because it's written that after Eliao, after John the Baptist, comes Jesus. Or crystallized Jesus. Jesus crystallized thanks to John the Baptist. Because Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, cannot crystallize within each one of us without the help of John the Baptist, without the help of John. So you see there, you associate how the different Johns are related always with the word in different steps, in different aspects. And when we read the Bible, we have to know which aspect are we reading. What is the Bible telling me here? What is this alchemical symbol here? Because everything is written with a purpose. Not just, as the people think, to believe. We have to study and we have to crystallize that. It's a guidance for initiates. Not for believing. Because then we just transform ourselves into Pharisees. As the Master Jesus of Nazareth said, hypocritical Pharisees that talks about but do not do anything. Because they don't comprehend it. So then, you see how John the Baptist appears there. But you have to associate that also with the mind. And when we say with the mind, I'm not talking about the animal mind, with the ego. No, we're talking about with the man. Because remember that in Sanskrit, man comes from manas, mind. But it's not the animal mind. It's that individual mind, individual man that we have to create in each one of us. Manas. The individual manas. And we have two manas, according to theosophy. Inferior manas and superior manas. But let me tell you, even the physical body is manas. Because manas itself is matter. But when we talk about here about matter, we're talking about that matter which is molded by the Spirit of God and is doing it through fire. So God, in order to mold the matter, in order to mold the manas, or Maya, as the book of Bhagavad Gita says, that when Vishnu, which is talking through Krishna, wants to crystallize, he says, even though I am immutable, I have no form, once in a while I crystallize, I incarnate. And when I want to do it, I do it through my own Maya. Which in Buddhism, it says Maya is illusion. Because matter is always in moving, in transformation. Has no reality in the sense that is eternal, I mean immutable, always the same, like God is always immutable. But when wants to be in the matter, uses maya, and that is matter. Or my prakriti, as Krishna says, I serve myself through my prakriti and incarnate and take form. But how does Christ do that, or how does Vishnu, Krishna, does that, or do that, I mean, in order to appear? He does it through fire, because fire is the one that shaped that, creates that. It's Shin. So that Shin, that fire, is crystallizing through the prakriti to Maya, and then Christ appears in a human shape, or makes a human being. So then, that's why the man is called Manas. But I repeat, not that mechanical Manas, or mind, that is related with the ego, that appears and disappears, and is related with evolution and devolution. We're talking here about this matter, which is immortal, because Shin is within it. You're following it, right? This is precisely what we want to stay here in order to understand the word John. That's why when I said that John is the mind, I'm not talking about the animal mind, but that man. But here, again, we enter into the New Testament, or better said, to the letters of the Master Hilarion, 9, Paul of Tarsus, that said that we had to bring the image of two manas, of two matters, immortal matters, the terrestrial matter and the heavenly matter. The terrestrial man and the heavenly man. Because one thing is a terrestrial man and the other the heavenly. The heavenly is the bodhisattva. The terrestrial is the one that has to die to pass through a transformation, a metamorphosis, in order to become a butterfly. The activity of these two manas in the initiation is important to understand it in order to comprehend John in different aspects. And that's why you find in the Gospel of John that he's the one that is not the light, but bring witness of the light. And this is how you have to understand how that John has to become the bodhisattva. The very awakened man completely. It's a great transformation. And that's why when you read the book of Revelation, that Jesus Christ is revealing this through his angel to his servant John. But let us continue with this, because there is an angel there. That Jesus Christ is revealing that to John through an angel. Why? You see that when you read carefully the book of Revelation, people think, oh yeah, Jesus personally was revealing that unto John. But doesn't say that. He said that was revealing that through his angel. Why? Because as we always explain, that particular individual Jesus Christ is an energy that expresses itself through an angel. And what is an angel? An angel is a messenger, or as we say in Sanskrit, an avatar. Because angel comes from the Greek word angeloi, which means messenger. And avatar means messenger. But in order to be a messenger of Christ, you had to have Christ within. You had to incarnate him. But not only to incarnate him, but to self-realize that within you. When an entity, a monad, self-realizes that energy, which is cosmic, and individualizes it in himself, is called a logos. Logos is a word in Greek which means word. A logos has the power to create worlds. It's a vehicle of that cosmic energy. There are many levels, of course, among angels, as you know. But in this case, that particular angel that we are talking here is called, in esoteric terms, archangel. Because that archangel have the archaeos, or the argot, the word incarnated. But the archaeos is precisely what we call the Tosoma Heliakon, or the Egyptian Sahu, or in Hebrew, Merkaba, a chariot where the monad rides, or where Christ runs. So that chariot, of course, is formed by the solar bodies, made of gold. And as we explained in many lectures before, Christ creates through the law of three, which is symbolized in the letter Shin. Keter, Chochmah, Binah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But Christ, when creating, when that fire is creating, is organizing his creation with the law of seven. That's why we say it always, that in Kabbalah, in alchemy, we have to study very carefully the two laws of three, or the holy Triyamatsikamno, and the law of seven, the law of the Epta Para Par Shinak, that organizes. And that's why you find always that in any creation, you always find seven, the seven notes. And even in the word John, you find seven vowels. Because the word does it through the to the number seven. And when Christ organizes the universe, any solar system, he's always doing it through the law of seven. And that's why it says that when Jesus Christ appears through his angel, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And you know that those letters are the first letter of the alphabet Alpha, Greek, and Omega is the last one. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Alpha is the word, Omega is the sex. The beginning and the ending. But in that revelation written by John, he depicted Jesus, or Christ, in other words, or that angel, that logos, through which Christ is manifested to him, appears with seven stars in his right hand. The seven stars are the representation of the seven spirits, because even though he says these are the seven spirits behind the throne of God, now let us continue in this disquisition very carefully in this discourse, and let us inquire that the Bible says that there are seven spirits before the throne of God. Even though when you imagine a throne, what do you imagine? A chair, of course, right? And a throne made of gold and an old man seated there. But in Gnostic Christianity esotericism, we know that throne is a hierarchy related with Bina. Because this is how we find. The Seraphim are in Keter. The Cherubim in Chochmah. And the thrones in Bina. And Bina is related with Saturn. And Jupiter, in the Tree of Life, which are really related with the solar system. Because really, Saturn is called, in esotericism, the Ancient of Days. And that's why Saturn is worshipped in Greek mythology, appearing in the beginning of creation. And from there comes the mysteries of Sabbath, or Shabbat, mysteries of Saturday, in which we are right now. Of course, and according to the mysteries of Shabbat, Kabbalah, from there you find the mysteries of God, the story of Kabbalah in Saturday. Because really, the seven spirits which are before Bina in the solar system are the seven logos, which are in different chapters repeated in the book of Revelation. Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, Michael, Samael, Zachariel, and Orifiel. These are the seven spirits. Thrones. Because they are related with the creative force of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, the angel which is given the revelation in the name of Jesus Christ to John is one of them. And you know that each one of us is related with any of them, according to our ray. So then when we read and we establish that, we have to comprehend and to understand that that Christ is three, is seven, and as the Master Samael on the Or explains in many of his books, is 12, 24, 48. Because there are many fires or many flames, sparks of the same flame that we study it. Because Christ as flame, as fire, has the power to spread itself in different flames, and it's always the same fire. But every flame expresses itself in different ways. So that's why the book of Revelation is a guidance for those that are following the path. And that's why is written that says, he sent and signed it by his angel unto his servant John. So that angel, is that angel related with a particular ray to which that essence, John, or that manas, that man, is being created? Who bear record of the word of God. To bear record of the word of God is inside of you. That record is the development of virtues, the development of powers, the development of the solar bodies. That is what is the record of the word of God in each one of us. And of the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know that Jesus Christ is individual in each one of us as well. And of the things that he saw. Of course, that is what in Buddhism we will say, insight, internal view, has nothing to do with the physical world, but internal world. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And then it starts, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. But you know there, John, the word again, the seven word, the seven vowel, E-A-O-M, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Here you find how people in this day and age still think that the Apostle John was written letters to seven physical temples which were built in Asia. And it is due because they ignore that in Kabbalah we study four worlds. The world of Atziluth, which is the world of archetypes. The world of Bria, which is the world of creation. The world of Yetzirah, which is the world of formation. And Asya, which is the world of matter and action. Because we have to act in the matter. Asya is the fourth world in which we are right now. Because the whole initiation, the whole path starts in Asya. Not in the continent of Asia, but in Asya, in this physical world. But where we have to start that work? In the mind? Well, we study the doctrine as we are doing it here, symbolically, in general, in synthesis. We study the doctrine. And that's a beginning, we will say, in order to comprehend how to do, how to act. Because it's written there plainly that you have to write to the seven churches which are in Asia. Asia. To write, as you know, is an activity of the Hello.
You're back.
I am back. So we had to start organizing the creation of the human being, as you know, through the law of seven. And obviously, in order to create, we need to enter into the tree of life, because life is what we need. We need life internally. And that tree of life is in the spinal column. That's the beginning. No one can enter into the initiation if this person doesn't open the tree of life. It's not entering into Eden. Because where is where God creates the whole human being? It does it in Eden, internally. It does it through 7 days. And this is precisely what we have to understand. To write, as we said, you do it with your right hand or with your left. But you can be ambidextrous. To write with both. But anyhow, you do it with your hands always. But before writing, you have to think. You have to use your mind. Before writing with your what your mind will dictate you, you have to know. To know what to write. That's gnosis. It says da'at. Because we are talking about the mysteries of da'at, the mysteries of the tree of good and evil, the tree of knowledge. So when you know that, when you comprehend that with your consciousness, and then you have the will of doing it. Because we have to have the will of doing it. Because if the person doesn't want to do it, it doesn't matter if he comprehends it. But first, comprehension of the mysteries of that, of good and evil, of alchemy. That's first. When you comprehend that, and then you have to have the will, telema, to do it. With that telema, you control your mind, and then you teach your mind. That's the manas. The inferior manas, unfortunately, is filled with ego, with different psychological minds or aggregates that we need to clean and to annihilate and learn to make a order, to have an order in our internal house. So that mind then is the one that after that goes into action when you write. To write means to develop that inside. But you are writing, you are developing, you are doing it. To this, through the seven churches. And that's why a specific study of the seven churches has to be done. But we have to understand that those seven churches are not seven temples in the continent of Asia. There are seven magnetic centers related with the development of our own particular individual Jesus Christ. Our own particular Chokhmah. Our own particular Son of Man. In seven octaves. Because everything is in seven. That's why when you read the book of Revelation, everything is in sevens and sevens and sevens. And always related also with the law of three. Physical, mind, and spirit. Because we have to develop that in three levels. Through the law of seven. So, in synthesis, Asia, not Asia, but Asia represent the spinal column, because the spinal column is the foundation of the physical body. In other words, it's a column. You can have strong legs, but if your spinal column is severe, severed, if your spinal column is severed, you cannot walk. If we are standing, if we move, it's because the spinal column. This is really amazing to understand that, because really that's the tree of life. And in order to enter into the world of esotericism, the world of magic, we do it through the spinal column, to the seven centers, which are associated with the seven chakras. As you know, that seven chakras has been talked a lot. But we also have to understand that, how the seven vowels, the seven logos, the seven spirits of God relate to the seven chakras, to the seven churches. To specify, we have to understand and to directly explain that each one of these seven logos are related with all the seven chakras, because all of them are interrelated.